Would you like to take your relationships to the next level? I mean deeper, more meaningful. Someone that would be with you through the hardest of times. Someone that you learn to celebrate at new levels with when life is great. Today on Living on the Edge, we're going to talk about how to build deep, meaningful friendships that really last. Stay with me.
Thanks for joining us for this Monday edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Living on the Edge is an international discipleship ministry featuring the Bible teaching of Chip Ingram. I'm Dave Drury. And today, Chip finishes his look at authentic community through the lives of Jonathan and David. Real relationships take time, but the investment is well worth it. And today we'll learn several keys to building the kind of relationships that last a lifetime. Now, after the message, Chip will join us for some practical ways to begin building authentic community into your life today. Now with his talk, Learning How to Experience Authentic Community, from 1 Samuel chapters 18 through 20, here's Chip.
I remember it was a real intense time in my life, schedule and travel, and my dad was very, very sick, and he didn't have much time to live, and I had a friend who, because of his business, owned a plane that he flew to different places. And I'll never forget, he said, when your dad gets near the end, you call me. I don't care where you're at. I'll come pick you up, and I'll take you. You need to see your dad. You've had a long up and down journey with him. You need to see him before he dies. And I'll never forget getting one of those calls that says, if you want to see your dad before he dies, you need to get here as soon as possible. I mean, he's not going to last probably more than another 24 or 48 hours. And I remember sitting down, and this is really interesting. I remember sitting down thinking what Gary said, and then thoughts like, I don't want to put him out. I mean, like, how much gas would it cost? And I know he, but. And I just thought, you know, he said he wanted to do it. I just can't imagine anybody doing that for me. And I just realized, you know something? I guess I just need to humble myself and receive. And I just called him on my cell. I was working out downstairs. I said, Gary, I just got a call. You know, it took me 10 minutes to work it through. And he said, get over to the little airport. It'll be 30 minutes. I'll have you there in Durham in a couple hours. And I got in his plane 30 minutes later, and we flew in the middle of the night, and he and his son, and he said, he dropped me off in front. He says, I'll come back and get you. He said, we'll take care of the hotel. He had rented a car, took care of everything, and I had a window of opportunity that I'll share a little bit later with my dad. Because someone, and boy, you talk about a friend, he's available. Are you available? See, we got convenient friends, and we got real friends. Real friends are available. Next is loyalty. Don't shrink back when things heat up. Well, the story continues, and David replies to him, okay? David's thinking, this is getting scary. He says, tomorrow we celebrate. I'm in verse 5 of chapter 20, the new moon festival. I've always eaten with your father on this occasion, but tomorrow I'm going to hide in the field, and I'll stay there until the evening of the third day. If your father asks where I am, tell him I've asked permission to go home to Bethlehem for an annual family sacrifice. If he says fine, then you'll know all is well. But if he's angry and loses his temper, then you'll know he's planning to kill me. Listen to this. Show me this kindness as my sworn friend, for we made a covenant together before the Lord, or kill me yourself if I've sinned against your father. But please don't betray me to him. Listen to Jonathan. Never, Jonathan exclaimed, you know that if I had the slightest notion my father was planning to kill you, I would tell you. Well, they figure out a plan to figure out whether it's going to happen or not. And if you skip down to verse 16, it says, so Jonathan made a covenant with David saying, may the Lord destroy all your enemies. Think of what he's saying. Who's one of his enemies? Boy, you know, that old blood is thicker than water. Ain't true. May the Lord destroy all your enemies. And Jonathan made David reaffirm his vow of friendship again. For Jonathan loved David as much as he loved himself. The reason we don't have really great friends is the price of loyalty is very, very high. You don't betray your friend. And most all of us will get in a situation, I've had a handful in my life, where life heats up. I mean, it really heats up. And being around you during that time when it heats up, a lot of the dirt and the yik-yik that comes with your life heating up, people don't really want to get around you because it kind of comes off on them. Your reputation may be attacked, and you know, like hanging out with you right now as they're, it's not true, but you just find a lot of people start not returning your calls and can't figure out why, because some things are being said about you that aren't true. You might be in a horrendous relational situation. You know what? It might even be you really blew it and you sinned. I mean, big time. And people are judging you and just telling you, you know what, man, you blew it. I'll tell you what, God is going to do this. And, you know, you broke your marriage vow or you stole money from that company or you. You know what? Real friends never, ever tell you that the sin's okay. But what they tell you is, man, I got to tell you, you really did screw up. But I'm here for you. How are we going to get through this? What's the game plan going to be? You got to get right with God. You got to make it right with his people. You can make it through this. I'll be here for you. That is a friend. That's authentic community. And everyone goes through hard times. But the temptation is when things really heat up and get really difficult, the temptation is for people to kind of back away. And I'm going to play it safe. I have a very good friend with a flat top that is super goofy. And he can listen to this. But I don't know that I've ever had a friend as loyal. In the most difficult times I've ever had in my life, he has called, flown to my house, done whatever it's taken. And then I had a season where I was flying all around the world, and I was worn out, and some of the places were just downright scary and dangerous. And I remember looking over my shoulder, and I thought, let's see, it's been 5 years, and I've been flying all over the world. Huh. AC, at his own expense, was on every trip and flew with me just to be there in all but one. And he was on the ramp to go with me. And his mother fell, who was 90-something, broke her hip in the hospital. And he apologetically said, I won't be able to go to India with you. Tell you what, that's loyalty. Are you that kind of friend? You want to become that kind of friend? Tell you what, those kind of people have lots of people that want to be their friend. David and Jonathan tell us, if you're aware, intentional, honest, available, loyal, and then here, you got to be vulnerable. Refuse to let fear or pride limit your relationship. We're still in chapter 20. Skip over all the way down. It gets bad, and Saul is not a nice guy. And Jonathan, David realize that he's going to have to run for his life. And they figure out that Saul is really going to try and kill him. And so we pick up the story in verse 41 where they had this little situation where David is hiding in the brush behind a big rock, and Jonathan shoots this arrow and the boy runs, and they've got this code worked out. So the boy says, I can't find it. And he says, oh, it's farther. Keep running. They get the kid out of the way, and that's code for it's not good. Dad's trying to kill you. Let's talk. And so he comes out from behind the rock, and we get the picture. As soon as the boy was gone, David came out from where he had been hiding near the stone pile. Then David, notice this, he bowed to Jonathan with his face to the ground. Both of them were in tears as they embraced each other and said goodbye, especially David. At last, Jonathan said to David, go in peace, for we've made a pact in the Lord's name. We've entrusted each other and each other's children into the Lord's hands forever. Then David left, and Jonathan returned to the city. They cried, they embraced, they verbalized how much they cared, and they allowed their emotions to be expressed. Now, you girls do this a little bit better than us guys. I have the chairman of our board, Living on the Edge, is a pastor, and he's kind of like my pastor. And he never hangs up the phone, and it's not with a trite word. In fact, I was uncomfortable early, but after I really got to know him, Chip, yeah, I love you. Man to man, Chip, I love you. I'm for you. You need anything, give me a call. That's how he ends our phone conversations. He verbally expresses his love for me. From my background with my dad, that still doesn't feel, there's part of it that feels really good, and there's part of it that feels weird, okay? The few people that I've cried with, shared with, vulnerability is the price tag and the risk. See, vulnerability is basically just taking off a layer appropriately, wisely, with safe people at the right time and in the right way. Not with everyone, not all the time, but it's the key to deep, authentic community. And finally, we learn to be spiritual. Skip all the way over, if you will. David's running for his life, and he spends about a decade dodging spears and hiding in caves and living on this promise. God said I was going to be the king. God said I was going to be on the king. I don't feel like a king. I don't feel like a king. You know, it's like, man, this is crazy. And so during one of his down times, we pick it up in chapter 23, verse 15. One day near Horesh, David received the news that Saul was on the way to Ziph to search for him and to kill him. Jonathan went to find David and encouraged him to stay strong in his faith to God. He went out to find him. Don't be afraid, Jonathan reassured him. My father will never find you. You're going to be the king of Israel, and I will be next to you, as my father is well aware. Talk about loyalty. You can have, humanly, it's my job to be the king next. But God's made it clear you're the man and I'm behind you. So the two of them renewed their covenant of friendship before the Lord, and then Jonathan returned home while David stayed at Horesh. Don't be afraid to be spiritual. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man or one woman sharpens another. Sometimes we get in these relationships and we're going through stuff, and when we're in Bible study, we can talk about God. You know what? You need to have times where you have a friend and someone's talking and you say, let's pray right now. What do you mean? Around these? Yeah, come on, right now. Let's just pray. Or you need to say to someone when you know what's going on, by the way, this verse came to my mind. I've had someone recently just text me a verse. By the way, I'm thinking about you. Be spiritual. Your number one goal in your friendship is to help this person become an R12 Christian every day in every way. Basically, it's help him trust God, help him obey his word, help him do the right thing, help him realize he's in control, help him realize he's going to come through. That's the goal of your friendship. And by the way, when that's the goal of your friendship, all these other things come together. Seven essentials they model of having great, deep, authentic community. Now, you'll notice David and Jonathan's, let's do a little analysis here. It was their covenant with God was the basis for their devotion to one another. Here's the real key. It's their covenant with God. If you have some time and want to get the full story and read this later, it's chapter 18 through about chapter 23 of 1 Samuel. It's a great read. But as you read it over and over and over, covenant, the pact, the vow, it's their vertical relationship with God that was the basis of the level of devotion, because that's the trust was built on. They made a vow to God. They said, we're going to do our relationship according to God's word. We're going to do it God's way. We're going to be loyal. We're going to be honest. We're going to be true. We're going to be vulnerable. We're going to be committed. You don't have the power to do that in a relationship apart from Christ in you. In fact, Jesus models this. In John 15, 9 through 13, the very last time he's with his disciples on the earth, he says, notice, he starts his relationship with the Father. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain or abide in my love. And then he tells him, well, how do you do that? If you obey my commands, you'll remain in my love just as I've obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this, notice why. So that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Do you get it? You can't love one another apart from experiencing it with your Heavenly Father. Our covenant with God will determine the love of our devotion with people. Your walk with God will determine your depth with people. It's just the way it is. People with shallow relationship with God have shallow relationships with people. Why? They don't have the capacity to trust, to give, to be vulnerable. You can be vulnerable if you're secure in Christ. You can be honest and face rejection and tell the last 10% if you know God's got you covered. If you don't, you got to manipulate, politic, and play games. He finally says, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. The litmus test is commitment and sacrifice for one another. So how does it work? Jonathan and David's relationship reveal that authentic community occurs when the real you meets real needs for the right reason in the right way. The real you, let love be without hypocrisy, right? Meet real needs, be devoted to one another. What? In the right way, not, it's serving the Lord, not lacking, right? Fervent in spirit, not lacking in diligence, serving the Lord and doing it in the right way, not in your strength, but his. Finally, authentic community is the core of Christianity. I originally had in the notes is a core. And then I read John 17, and this is the last prayer of Jesus. And in the last prayer of Jesus, he's praying to the Father, and here's what I want you to see. He begins to pray about his, before he took on flesh, before the incarnation, he begins to pray and talk about the unity and the community and the fellowship of the triune God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and specifically his relationship with the Father. It's community. God doesn't need us to experience and give love. He is one essence, but he's three persons. And so he says what? He prays that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be one in us so that the world may believe that you've sent me. Now, from our very human perspective, we can talk about authentic community and deep relationships because loneliness is solved and, you know, we'll walk with God better and we'll be happier and it fills our emotional tank and life is just a lot more fun to do it with people and where you're connected and where you're loved and all that is wonderful for us, but it's not the most important reason. The most important reason is the gospel's credibility and legitimacy according to Jesus, is based on how well we love one another. And the world has every right to say, I don't believe that Jesus is God, that he came to forgive sins, if his followers don't love each other the way he loved them. Jesus never came to start a religious institution, to have buildings built all over the globe. There's nothing wrong with those things, but he said, and it's been true of every age in every generation. Forget whether they had buildings or not buildings, whether they used stained glass or electric guitars, whether they did it in robes or whether they hid in caves. When people radically, sacrificially loved and have loved one another with vulnerability and honesty and loyalty and commitment, as unto the Lord, literally giving their life for one another, the world stepped back and says, the gospel's true. That's how I came to Christ. I was the most skeptic. I had a bad church experience. I'd never been exposed to the Bible. I was in a place that after about a week, I saw people love each other that I admired. And I came to this great apologetic conclusion. I don't know what they have, but I want what they have. I wasn't arguing with the content. I would do that later. But what I realized was the power was the reality of their love for one another. So let me give you some quick, very practical steps, as though we haven't gone over a few already, in terms of going to the next level in authentic community. How can you experience authentic community? One, get connected in a spiritually positive relational atmosphere. And I put the two ways, be aware, be intentional. Number two, go deeper with one or two people in your group. And the way that you do that, what? Be honest, be available, be loyal. But, you know, take someone to coffee or go afterwards or go early or catch dinner and just someone that you feel like you got some chemistry with. And by the way, you'll get closest to them, go and ask a lot of questions and then let them ask you questions. Third, share and pray about a significant struggle or fear in your life with a safe person. This is the vulnerability and to be spiritual. I mean, just find one person that, you know, test it, but you think it's going to be safe and just say, you know what? Thanks for taking 45 minutes for coffee. Here's the struggle I'm having. And I'd just like to get your thoughts. And I will tell you, God will begin to work in very powerful ways. I want to close with a story that actually Teresa reminded me of that tremendous impact, and I alluded to. It says, the voice on the other end of the phone was serious and solemn. If you want to see your father before he dies, you need to get here as quickly as possible. Those are the words that I heard as my father, 85, was close to death. Found myself on a plane within the next 2 hours in a rent car with two close friends pulling up to Raleigh-Durham Hospital in North Carolina. I learned that my father had been unconscious for some time because of the pain medication. He was delirious much of the day. After comforting my stepmother, I entered the room, sat next to his bed, knowing this would be the last time I would get to see him this side of heaven. My dad was a good man, but deeply wounded. Although he'd been a Christian since his mid-50s, he'd had a difficult time communicating his feelings or ever verbalizing his love. I knew he cared for me deeply and that he was proud of me, but I longed to hear that from his lips. Every boy, no matter what age, yearns for the approval of their father. And I wanted to have that deep, meaningful conversation from the heart with him before he died. It was about 8 p.m. and my dad's wife, Evelyn, he'd remarried after my mom died, was heading home after a long day at the hospital. She gave me a kiss on the cheek and a hug as she walked out, and her eyes were sad as she knew these were my dad's last days. Then something strange happened. I'd heard and read about it in books, and doctors tell me it's not highly unusual, but my dad awakened and was completely lucid. For the next hour and a half, he was all there, and we had the talk that we both desired for so many years. Dad asked about my wife and about each of my kids and their kids. He asked me how I was feeling about the big transitions in my life and what I was concerned about and what made me happy the most. We relived a lot of years and some of our best times together, from little league ball games to some of the most difficult and painful events of our past. We shared hearts man to man. In those last hours, my father clearly and powerfully communicated the things that were most important to him. He held nothing back. He knew he was going to die. He was ready to die, and he wanted to communicate what mattered most. Don't wait until you are ready to die to begin to share what matters most with a handful of people. Don't let busyness, don't let job demand, don't let fear of rejection, don't let past hurts, don't let anything keep you from allowing the real you to meet real needs for the right reason in the right way. You will never regret it.
Chip will be right back with a final thought about his teaching. But if you're just joining us, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Chip's message, Learning How to Experience Authentic Community, is from his series, Momentum, How to Ignite Your Faith. From the base camp of Romans 12, Chip leads this Old Testament trek, exploring the lives of some of the most famous men of the Bible. From Abraham and Joseph to Moses and Daniel, Chip helps us appreciate how these men of faith lived out the practicalities of true spirituality. And with continual encouragement, Chip fires the momentum of our own faith journey. Now, Momentum is one of those series you're going to want to keep handy and listen to time, because these lessons from Chip are well worth revisiting. For your convenience, you'll find all of the discounted Momentum resources on our website. For pricing and ordering information, just go to livingontheedge.org. Or we're always happy to talk with you when you give us a call at 1-888-333-6003. Well, Chip, I know you've got a great application for what we heard today, but I know you wanted to jump in here for just a second.
I'll be right back to talk about today's message. But before I do, I want to give you a picture that I got to witness as a young pastor. There was a man there who was a master craftsman. I mean, he was a cabinet maker par excellence. And I remember watching him literally painstakingly with a piece of wood use a lathe, and little by little by little by little, he did all these things that I couldn't figure out what was happening. And then, you know, all those little moments led to this absolutely beautiful piece of cabinetry or furniture. And you know, sometimes we think little things don't matter, even calling them little things. And one of the, quote, little things that is the backbone of Living on the Edge are those people who support
the ministry monthly. You know, I don't know if you are a current supporter or you've been praying about being a supporter, but let me tell you this. When you give monthly, it provides the bedrock and the consistency and the stability of all that we do here at Living on the Edge. So I want to thank you, monthly partners, for all that you do. And I would like you, if you're not a supporter, would you prayerfully today ask God, do you want me to support Living on the Edge? Do you want me to help Christians live like Christians? And if so, would you like me to do it on a regular monthly basis? And by the way, thanks in advance for whatever God leads you to do.
Thanks, Chip. Well, if partnering with Living on the Edge is an idea that makes sense to you, we'd love to have you join us. Helping Christians live like Christians will change the world we live in. To give a gift today, just give us a call at 1-888-333-6003. Or if you prefer to give online, you can donate securely by going to livingontheedge.org. Your generosity is greatly appreciated, and your partnership is very encouraging. Well, now here's Chip with some final thoughts about today's message.
As I close today's program, I gave you three very specific ways to go deeper in your relationships, to develop authentic community. The first one was get connected in a spiritually positive relational environment. And so, I mean, you got to get tight in some small group somewhere where you're not just superficial. The second is go deeper with one or two people in that group. I mean, you can be in a group of seven or eight people and they still don't know much about you. You go deeper with one or two that you feel that are safe and there's a connection. And then third, I said, share and pray about a significant struggle or fear in your life with a safe person. If you'll open up and begin to share, hey, here's an area that I'm struggling with, and be wise about how much you share. But as you do that, your level of vulnerability will allow the other person to feel safe and do the same. You know, there's this sort of shocking reality of how much of our life and energy is around getting stuff, maintaining stuff, paying for stuff, being busy with stuff. And really, the thing that really matters is relationships. And I would just ask you today, wherever you're at, who's the person that you would miss the most if they died tomorrow? Who's the person that you would have regrets that you didn't spend more time with, that you didn't go deeper with, you didn't share life in a better and richer way with? Then let me encourage you, don't let this day end without taking one step toward deepening the relationship with that person. Jonathan and David are a great picture of what it means of the richness of authentic community, deep friends loving one another from the heart. It's the greatest gift you'll ever give, and it's the greatest gift you'll ever receive.
Just before we close, I want to thank those of you who make this broadcast possible through your generous giving. Living on the Edge invests those dollars to purchase airtime, create programs, and provide resources to help Christians live like Christians. Now, if Living on the Edge has been a blessing to you, would you prayerfully consider sending a gift today? You can donate online at livingontheedge.org or by calling us at 1-888-333-6003. Thank you for your partnership with us. Well, I hope you'll join us again tomorrow as Chip continues our current series, Momentum. For now, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.